There's more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Welcome to episode 80 of the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. Joshua started writing a new book titled An Authentic Life, and we're now four chapters in. One of the chapters is called The Illusion Created by Fear. We're going to read an excerpt from this chapter. In it, Joshua explains how fear causes us to perceive reality as dangerous. If the fear is rational, meaning the subject of our fear can do us physical harm, then that's a good thing. However, most of our fear is irrational. And so the illusion that something presents a danger is not the reality of the situation. So we're going to get more into that, and there's a really interesting example that Joshua uses. On the roundtable this week, we have Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, Gary.
And Wendy Pierce. Hi, Wendy.
Oh, hey there, Gary.
And Mark Shahada. Hi, Mark.
Oh, hey there, Gary.
And Isabel Zimmerman. Hi, Isabel. Isabel?
Hello, everyone.
Hi,
there
Isabel.
She is. Hello.
I like how you pause for impact.
Yes.
All right, if you can tell my voice. Build. So in the Joshua diet, you do an experiment with food. And then you can feel how you feel after you've eaten this food. And, you know, a lot of times it tastes good and it feels good right away. But then after a while, you'll notice that you feel something weird. Well, I had oysters early this week. And ever since, I've had this scratchy voice from these oysters.
Wow.
It's lasted for 5 days. It's been 5 days solid. And it was really bad at the beginning, and now it's getting better.
But that's,
isn't that weird? How it just really...
Well, almost, like an allergic reaction type thing.
Yeah. It feels like I'm like really raspy, and I've been talking a lot, but I haven't.
So, have you ever had that experience with oysters before?
I have. I knew what was going to happen. I was
sure.
Yeah, I'm not.
I ate them anyways.
I'm intolerant of shellfish.
Yeah.
One time we were at this restaurant. It was a seafood restaurant, and I had this gigantic platter of crab legs and oysters and clams and stuff like that, and I was wrecked the next day. This was just a couple oysters, three oysters or so. But oysters are really intense for me anyway. When I was in, I was with my girlfriend in college.
Are they now?
Yeah. Well, not the way you're thinking, Kyla.
Tell us more.
I had this experience.
I think this is a different podcast.
In Merida. My girlfriend and I went to on this photography trip through the photography class in college to Merida in Mexico. And while we're there, we rented this car and we drove to the coast because Merida's in the middle of the Yucatan Peninsula. So we drove to this isolated beach where they had really never even seen Americans. And here we are on this beach cafe, totally beautiful place. And we can't speak Spanish. There's no menus. The waitress just comes up and tells us, what they caught for the day. And so she's just rambling off stuff, and we have no idea what she's saying, so we just go with that. So out comes this tall glass full of shucked oysters in some sort of liquid, right?
Some sort of liquid.
And so we're not going to eat this, but I take one, and I put it on a cracker and put some Tabasco on it and take a photo of it. And then she's like, well, now you got to bite it. So I bit into it, and then didn't eat any more of that. And then we had some nice fish. It was great. Later that night, I almost died from that. And
really?
It was literally the closest to death I've ever been. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like,
and yet, wait a minute. Let me get this clear. And yet, you still eat seafood.
Yeah. Right. I thought it was like the water in a glass or something, but
Wow.
Yeah,
so I have you live dangerously.
Crazy. All right. Normally, what we do on this show is before we go on air, we set our intentions. This is a big thing that we always do. It's a, certainly Joshua talks to us about setting our intentions all the time. And we do it before going on the show. And this time we thought, well, let's set our intentions while we're on the show so people could hear what we're doing and how intentions work and all that. So intentions are very general things. So we're going to set the intention to have fun. That's the most important thing here. We're going to have access to infant intelligence coming through us. We're going to be in a good mood. We're going to laugh. And this is going to be an interesting podcast and the most fun one we've ever had. All right. So that's our intention.
And we're going to focus and be allowing, because that's important for me.
We were talking about this before the show, is that Mark noticed that last episode that came out that my voice was going in and out of it. And so we're like, how do we fix that problem? And Kyla's like, no, we're not going to fix it. That's just going to be how it is. And the reason my voice is going in and out on that last one is because we had some kind of resistance around it. So we're going to go with the flow of whatever happens, and what happens, what happens. If it screws up again this week, then we're going to fix it. Get a new headset.
We only go with the flow and
one time
for a little while. Yeah.
If the universe is going to fix it, then
we're
going to
control it. I'll control it. Don't worry.
I'll let you guys take care of that part.
Oh my God. This is an all-time build.
I had one other intention that I thought we could intend this morning. Let's intend to be authentic.
Yeah. Oh, you can do that. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. You're doing that?
I've got a persona to protect.
I think you've got a book to read.
As your leader.
Yeah. Gary, there's this group called Joshua.
Yeah.
They can fix that.
Oh, okay. Hey, did you know that you can't fix me? I'm perfect as I am.
I agree. Did you know that I can't get better than this?
Yeah.
How many times have I told you I see the perfection that you are?
You do. Yeah. Could you call my wife?
Sure. Lily, honey, we got to talk.
No, she sees the perfection that's me. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, God. You know, maybe she could talk to Tom.
There should be like a support group for spouses.
There really should be a spousal support group.
Spouses of Joshua fanatics.
Yeah. I love it. Tom just looks at me sometimes and shakes his head. He's like, oh my God.
Yeah. We've got a couple in England, Victoria and Chris, who are doing the one, one together as a couple.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Actually, so Chris is coming over to take a course in aqua farming, where they take the fish. And they filter the fish water through the plants. And
it
naturally fertilizes the plants, and the plants grow, and the water's filtered up back into the fish tanks. So he's going to Orlando, which is like 3.5 hours from here. Uh-huh. And so he has Wednesday and Thursday available. So do I. So my friend owns a beach house in Vero, which is exactly halfway between Orlando and here. And we're going to go up there and spend the night there. It's right on the ocean. It's got a 100-foot dock on the intercoastal. It's like four houses from the inlet, so there's nobody there at that part of the beach, too. It's just completely pristine.
That's so cool. Yeah.
That's so cool.
So we're going to have a look.
Yeah. Your nude beach. You've always wanted to.
There's nobody there, so.
Oh. Sure.
That just reminded me. Remember when that was coming up, and we were all talking about that, like.
Yes, and then it didn't manifest, right? Did it?
Sure didn't.
No, but we all had our own little fear about it.
We did.
I mean, I'm not going to do it. Who's going to do it? Is Gary going to do it? I'm not doing
it. Gary going to do it? Oh, God, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see it.
I had like a little fear about it, but then that day I just never felt inspired to go down there. I was just totally happy where I was. It was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I walked down and looked, and it was like, you don't want to see any of it.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's just like the women that were topless where we were at. It's like, okay, I don't want to see that.
Yeah. It's like
I like to look at people. People are interesting. All bodies are beautiful.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. All right. Judgment. Thank you. Judgment police.
That's right. Thank you. Judgment police. I'm going to get us t-shirts for the Land Cruise. Judgment police.
We got a lot of people coming on the Land Cruise.
How many so far?
I don't know. I don't even want to say it. It's a lot.
But over 30?
That's going to be fun.
I think so, yeah. I think it's over 30. Okay. So anyway, this new concept is that there are, well, I don't even know if I want to go into it because it's all explained perfectly in this little section here.
Cool.
So let's just jump right in. Why not?
Okay.
We've got an hour, and this, we can talk about this, and then we can talk after it. Who wants to read the first part? We can change up if we want to. Anyone? Well,
I'm on my cell phone, and that's a little difficult for me to read.
Okay. Kyla will start us off.
All right. Imagine two realities exist simultaneously, the true reality and the illusory reality. The true reality is seen clearly as it is, but the illusory reality is caused by fear. There is only one true reality, but there are infinite illusory realities, all dependent on the existence and intensity of irrational fear.
Okay, so this illusory. Is a little deep.
Yeah, yeah, I like it.
Say that word again. Illusory?
Yeah,
illusory.
Illusory. So it's elusive?
No, it's illusionary.
Like illusion.
Illusionary. Like illusionary. Okay. Yeah. This reality is illusionary.
Does
okay,
anyone know if that's a real word?
Illusory. It is a real word. Yeah. It's like a $5 word, but yeah, it's real.
Sometimes
it's
I have to look up.
I like it.
In one of Joshua's answers, they said something like the tone and timbre, which is timbre,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, timbre.
Yeah.
Of your mood or attitude or words or whatever is conveyed this way. I'm like, what the hell is timber? You know?
Right.
I had to look it up
right.
And find out what it was. That's what I think is weird. When they're using words that yeah. I don't really know or I don't consciously
yeah.
know.
Right. And when I've had thoughts like that I'm translating, words will come in that I would never use. Mm-hmm. Like the other day I used kindly. Kindly look at this. I was like, what? When
see,
I read it back, I was like, I wouldn't use that word.
The phrase that which is pops yeah. up everywhere. Yeah. Like Bashar and Esther and Joshua and all these that which. It's a strange thing. I've never said you
yeah.
know, that which causes you fear is whatever, you know.
Huh.
Oh, I thought it was like that which cut me off in traffic.
Yeah.
It's not like that.
That which has some monkeys flying around.
Those aren't monkeys, those are my pets.
Okay, so there's this real reality that's happening. Now, I don't hope I'm not giving anything away, but your inner self sees the true reality because there is no fear.
Uh-huh.
Your inner self has no fear. So right. anything other than what your inner self is seeing, if you see something different, right. it's an illusion. And the only way you can ever see it different than how your inner self is seeing your reality is if you have some fear going on, right?
Huh.
Which makes you think, oh, this person doesn't like me, or I'm not doing well at work, or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Or I am stressed out, or my house right. is a mess. That's just an illusion.
Yeah, it is.
I love it. Yeah,
I didn't call you out, Isabel.
Yes, but I'm getting over it.
Okay.
It's big.
Yeah.
Good.
All right.
So let's go on to the next paragraph.
Okay. We will give you an example. Have you ever watched people dive off the top of a high dive tower at a community swimming pool? You watch one after the other dive gracefully into the pool. It seems like fun. You receive the inspiration to try this yourself. You get up the courage and climb to the top of the tower, and suddenly you feel fear. As you cautiously move toward the edge of the diving board and look down, it seems so much higher from this perspective. The reality is the same, but the fear causes you to believe that the diving platform just became much higher. That is the illusion caused by fear. The more fear you feel, the higher the diving platform will feel to you. The height has not suddenly been altered. The reality is that the height is exactly the same as it was. It has not changed since you climbed to the top, but it seems as if it has.
Have you guys ever experienced this?
Mm. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You're at the bottom, it doesn't seem that high, and you go to the top, and suddenly it seems high. So the illusion is that it's a different height, and that illusion is created through fear.
That's such a perfect example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was a little girl, I took swimming lessons, and our graduation, and this, I was little. I'm going to say, I was like 5 or 6. It was kindergarten grade. And we had to jump off the high dive. And so we were all in line going to do our little graduation. And the kid in front of me jumps, grabs the high dive as he's going down, and is hanging from the high dive.
Oh, man.
It gets better. The instructor walks up. And poor kid, finger by finger by finger, until he falls into the water. And then it's like, your turn, Wendy.
Yeah, great.
I did it though. I was fierce.
I remember it vividly. I was in Michigan, so I'm 11 years old, and there's a community pool with a high dive, and the kids I'm with going, you know, have you ever jumped off a high dive? And I said, I did. I lied. And they go, oh, well, let's go ahead and do it then. And I go, okay, I'll go ahead and do it. Because they wouldn't do it because it was so high. And I was just like having to defend my persona saying that I had done it already, right? And so I went up. And the fear of not doing it was stronger than the fear of doing it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so I jumped off. And wow. It was fine.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a quick story. I was in New Zealand and bungee jumping. So we went to this bridge, really tall bridge, and I never bungee jumped before. And the person before me, she was up there for like 10 minutes because they kept going 1, 2, 3, and then she wouldn't go. And then they would talk to her, and she would. And so I don't know if I already told the story, but I said, I'm not going to do that. When I get up there, I'm just going to jump because I'm not going to put myself through that, even though I was scared.
That was just like in the first Joshua cruise.
Yeah.
You bungee jumped by doing the first question.
The first question.
Oh, right. Yeah. Just kind of get it over with type of thing and just not think about it. Yeah. Oh, wow. So I went up there and then they tied my, you know, they tied my ankles together and they put me out on the, you know, it looked like, what is that called when you're the plank on the ship or something where they're going to.
Oh, walk the plank.
Walk the plank.
And so they said 1, 2, 3, and I went to jump. But my body stopped me, like literally, like let me, like my body's like, what the hell are you thinking? But then I went up. But anyway, that was just weird how my body. I was intending to do it, but my body stopped me quickly.
Yeah. Self-preservation.
Yeah. It seems like irrational fear.
So did you die?
Irrational fear.
I did. Like the stop was just temporary, like just seconds.
Yeah.
It stopped. But then I pushed through it.
Yeah.
And I jumped. It was cool. So fun.
Was it fun? I don't think I could do it. My friend does it. He falls backwards. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. I feel like I would rather fall backwards.
Maybe. Yeah.
Not looking, you know, maybe. Just like trust, like a trust fall and just trust the universe to catch me or whatever. I don't know.
Before I got married, my girlfriend was an avid skydiver. And so we went skydiving. And, you know, I was always afraid of that feeling of falling. But in skydiving, you more feel like you're flying because the plane's moving forward and you just go at the same speed as the plane down, you know, so you don't really feel that change in momentum that you might feel bungee jumping.
That makes sense.
What they used to do, what was the most fun thing to do is go up on helicopters and jump off the you know, platforms of the helicopter.
That's
not very high.
No, they got it really high. Yeah, the helicopters can go really high if they want
really?
To.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You guys ever jumped out of a plane or belt or no? The girls. No.
I want to do it.
What's the scariest like thing someday. You've ever done?
I've jumped off of, like I've gone cliff diving.
Oh well, that's scary too. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like crazy high, but it was high enough to be scary.
Yeah. The climb up to me was harder, scarier than jumping off. I had this vision of sliding back down.
Yeah. The plane ride up was scarier than jumping out because the plane was all rickety and you know, you didn't think it was going to make it. That's why I have those crappy planes because you feel good jumping out of them. You feel a relief. All right, let's go to the next paragraph.
All right. The very same phenomena occurs anytime you feel fear. In the example above, the fear is somewhat rational. The fear of heights is the fear of falling and dying. It is tied directly to the survival instinct. However, because you are falling into water, you can observe the reality beyond the illusion and you can process your fear. If no one processed their fear, no one would dive into the pool except those with faulty survival instincts. The fact is that you can analyze your fear, see the true reality of a situation, and move past your fears.
So this is the whole concept of processing fear, of the art of analysis, is here we're even looking at what could be defined as a rational fear. You could fall incorrectly off the diving platform, belly flop in the water, lose consciousness, and drown. But since you've seen tons of people, and it's probably never happened. You know, fear of flying is the same way. You get in an airplane, and it could crash, and you could die. That is true. But you process mm-hmm. that fear by saying, the odds of that happening are so astronomical, it's not realistic to even think about it.
Yeah.
And then you go on the plane, right?
Yeah.
Who was that Olympic swimmer that did hit his head on the diving board? Was that Greg Louganis?
Yeah, Greg Louganis.
Yeah.
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 And that was a platform, too. That was a concrete platform, I think.
Go ahead. This is a side note. So I'm relatively young, but I felt old. I was watching the show on Netflix, and the girl was like, one girl was talking to the other girl, and she was like, are you ready to dive into this? And the other girl's like, Greg fucking Louganis. And then the other girl said, who's Greg Louganis? And she's like, I don't know, some sexy silver fox that gave a speech at my high school.
That's funny.
Good writing, right?
Yeah. He's the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the whole idea about processing your fear. All right, let's go to the next one.
The fear associated with diving off the platform is irrational. It is caused by a limited perspective. From the base of the platform, you can see exactly how high it is. You watch one after the other diving into the water and emerging unharmed. There is no danger. As you feel the desire to dive yourself because it seems exciting and fun, you feel fear. What if you hurt yourself? Now you must process that fear. The fear causes a shift in your vibration and you sink to a lower emotional state. In this state, you attract thoughts that resonate with your fears and you have mental images of falling off the board, landing awkwardly in the pool, and maybe even drowning.
Okay, so this is really interesting. When you feel the fear, you attract thoughts that resonate with that fear. So if you go around thinking that all your thoughts are created in your head like a factory, then you might believe that those are rational thoughts. But if you realize that you're attracting thoughts based on your emotional state of being, then you know that, well, those thoughts just resonate with what I'm feeling. I'm feeling this fear, and they're just coming naturally. So if I alter how I'm feeling about this, then I can attract thoughts of diving gracefully into the pool, of people looking at me in admiration of my courage, things like that. So it's up to you not just to be victim to these, you know, these thoughts that come to you, but actually choose how you want to think and choose the thoughts. And you can do that at any time.
Yeah.
And that's how you get over fear of anything, whether it's asking someone on a date or, you know, going to the Joshua Glan cruise or, you know, doing anything that some fear is going to cause come up when you're inspired to do something. This is a primary teaching, I think, is how to realize when you're receiving inspiration to do something and then how to process the fear that will always come no matter what you want to do.
Yeah. The primary teaching is a good point, Gary, because I feel that that was like, that's the first thing Joshua kind of teaches because it's the foundation. It's the basis. If you can work through those fears and learn to just change your vibrations slightly to get out of that fear thought, that's so liberating.
Well, to jump off that diving board or jump off that bungee platform or jump out of the plane, you know, because if you don't do what you're inspired to do, then you're going to have regrets for not doing it. Imagine, you know, now if Mark had not jumped off there, if he had chickened out and come back down, he would always regret it, you know? And he would never have been, you know, gained the confidence that comes with doing something like that and be able to have the story and it, be able to think of himself in a way that is so much more empowering as someone who pushed through the fear and did what they were inspired to do rather than someone who gave into the fear and succumbed to it and lived a more limited experience because of it.
So I like the idea of separating. So we, you know, we go through life and we have these thoughts and we have these fears and then we just feel that they're a part of us. And then I it feels what Joshua is trying to say. And, you know, for a long time now is that we attract our thoughts. So it's kind of like we're disassociating our thoughts from us and we attract it by how we feel so that we have choice.
Right.
So it's not a part, but it's not just what we do. It's not a part of us like we don't have any choice. It's a choice. Oh, I'm feeling a certain way. I'm attracting some thoughts. Let me change the feeling. Let me start by better thoughts. Let me analyze the fear and so that I can attract different thoughts.
That's so good. Yeah. That's what you said that so well, Mark. What if people that are diagnosed with depression we're given and taken that approach versus medicated.
Right.
That, I mean, that's part of what was so liberating for me when I mean, I had started to come out of it by the time that I found Joshua, but it helped me with hindsight, looking back, because when I was in, like, at the darkest point, I had all kinds of crazy thoughts.
Yes.
I mean, they have where it's like intrusive thoughts and just all these things. So looking back, that helps me separate those thoughts from me. And so that helps me know that when I do start to have feelings, you know, or go back to the shithole, that those thoughts, I don't have thoughts on that level anymore, but just be able to detach and say, okay, I am love. Yes. These thoughts are not of love. These thoughts are not. You know?
The detaching from.
You're not defined by your thoughts or even by your beliefs.
Right.
You know, because you can try any of those things. But that's, I guess that's why it's hard to change these beliefs, because you think those beliefs represent who you are.
Like,
I am a good person. Well, I think we talked about this before, is that no label that you put on yourself is accurate, because all labels are limiting, because you are a limitless being. You're beyond definition. So when you judge yourself as
love
good,
that.
You also have to say, well, I'm not being good in this moment, therefore I'm not good. Therefore, that means something about me, where it doesn't mean anything about you.
Right. And so the labels is part of the persona.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I've got.
Even if it's a good label.
Even if it's good, it's still part of the persona. And it's funny that the persona is below the line.
Right. Persona is below the emotional line. If you guys want to see that Law of Seven diagram, which is going to be in this book, it's part of the first chapter, I think. And it shows you the difference between the persona and the authentic self. So this book is an authentic life. It's about what that really is. And what that really is not allowing yourself to be defined by labels, because that's your persona, but by being beyond those labels, by being your authentic self, which is
beyond definition.
Beyond definition, exactly. And that you are guided by your inner self and love rather than by your ego and fear. And so the higher you raise your vibration, the closer you are to living an authentic life. Now, having said that, we're not saying it's possible to live without fear or to live without a persona. But as you make your persona more malleable, more undefinable, you get closer to being authentic. And so now you're not judging people, and you're not resisting how things unfold, and you're not judging or criticizing yourself or trying to change the conditions, because you understand that you can be flexible within those conditions.
And, you know, Gary, you made a really interesting point, because you're talking about how it's even maybe harder to get rid of beliefs, because as, you know, the faster EFT tapping that we do, we learn that some people, you know, we figure out what's keeping them from what they want. And if they have a belief, that's a limiting belief, because we identify with our beliefs.
Right.
Who will I be without this belief?
Right.
And that's a scary concept. So we hold on to it. And that's one reason why we hold on to it. You know, so that's one thing we tap on. Like, we're going to be okay without, even better without the belief. But the persona, you know, we identify with that, and we feel that's part of us too.
So here's how that I think that works, is that the persona was important, say, 1,000 years ago when you were part of a tribe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so who you were in that tribe was really important. And so you had to defend that, you know, position in the tribe. Otherwise, you could get ostracized from the tribe. And if you were ostracized from the tribe, you're basically done for. So it's a rational fear. If you're taken, well, today, that doesn't matter anymore, because it doesn't.
Right,
we
right.
can be whoever we want to be without being ostracized. And if you're ostracized anyway, it doesn't matter. You just, you know, move.
Right. And even on a different level, like even in this lifetime, what things happen to us, you know, traumatic things happen to us when we're younger. And then we have these coping mechanisms that can create limiting beliefs. Yeah. That's keeping us safe, too. So, I don't know. Let's just say somebody hurt us when we're like, let's say I'm a woman and a man hurt me. So when I get older, I'm going to have this irrational fear of men, but in some aspect, it's keeping me safe.
Right.
It's like my coping mechanism. It thinks it's keeping me safe.
Yeah. So your ego is doing the job of protecting the persona, because as you are now, you're alive. Right. And so the ego is thinking, well, whatever he's doing now, it's got him this far. So let's not change any of that. You know?
Yeah.
And so it limits you from changing. which the ego thinks is a good thing because, hey, you're not dead, so whatever you're doing, it's working. But you can see further than that. Yeah. You can see that if you put yourself out there on a podcast talking about crazy stuff like this. Yeah. Or listening to it at home. How many people are listening to this with it playing on their stereo throughout their house, and how many are listening to it privately with headphones on? What's you listening to,
dirty
honey?
Little secret.
I'm listening to a book on tape. All right, let's go to the next one.
All right. As you analyze the fear, you can see that these mental images could be beneficial if you were really in danger. They would limit you from doing something that was dangerous. If it was a rational fear, these thoughts of injury or death would help you remain safe. However, this is an irrational fear that you are dealing with. You know there is no real danger. You might smack into the water and it might sting, but you're not going to die. If you want to fulfill the destiny of your desire and manifest the experience of diving, then you will have to process the fear.
Right. And since that is your desire, since you felt the twinge of excitement, since you think it will be fun, that's how you know it's inspired. Okay? Yeah. So you're receiving the inspiration from your inner self. You happen to show up at this pool. You happen to notice the diving board. And you happen to feel that little thing, tinge of excitement. And that's inspiration. And if you follow through on your inspiration, then you're taking action at the time through inspiration to manifest your desire. That's how all desires are manifested.
Mm. And those five little words. Am I going to die?
Right.
No. Yeah.
We took a guy's trip to Jamaica, and in the grill, there's all these cliffs. It's this beautiful place, and there's a spot where you can dive into the water. And below in the water are people in little boats watching and taking tours, and, you know, it's pretty crowded there. And so my friend's up there. Oh, by the way, for breakfast, we had ganja bread. Which is, you know what that is? I didn't know what it was.
It's
cake, little crumbs of cake that is laced with pot. So we were really high.
Special cake.
You know, I don't really even smoke pot, but that was like crazy high, and it lasts all day. So we're going to the edge of the cliff, and there's a whole bunch of people in line to jump off this cliff. And my friend John is there, and he's like, okay, it's pretty high, you know, and he jumps, and man, it looks like he's going to hit this boat, like go right into the middle of the boat, and he just comes down right next to it. It was so scary, but he was fine, and, you know, so these things seem scarier than they really are. If you sort of take this idea that you're inspired to do it, even if you're high, and I guess, don't know if that works.
Even if you're high. You know,
and do it, it's going to work out.
I had a dollar for every time I said that. Oh goodness!
All right, so I have a question about
that. While you're high, that's what I heard. While you're high,
so that's that's the question.
To live by.
Am I going to die? Am I high? Mark,
no,
question?
And yes. Yeah.
All right. So there's a story that Esther Hicks talks about, Abraham talks about, and it was a story with Jerry. So they're talking about, actually, it's interesting, and it seems counter to what Joshua is saying. So Abraham has talked about, don't push past your fears necessarily. Sometimes your fear is inspiration. And she gave an example of Jerry was going horseback riding and they were going to give him a horse and he felt something, I guess an urge or inspiration to not take that horse. And he said, no, I'm not feeling good about this horse. And then the instructor kind of made fun of him and said, you're nothing to be afraid of. And I think the instructor jumped up on the horse and while he was doing it, the horse kicked back and knocked out his teeth.
Right. So this is exactly what Joshua was saying. It's a fear limits you when it is a rational fear, and that is a very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you have that feeling, that's the inspiration not to go on the horse. The fear would be what other people would think of you, right? So you have to push past that fear of what they think of you and not go on the horse. That kind of,
that's complicated because it's a fear. And how do you know?
It's not a fear. It's an inspiration not to go on that horse. The inspiration is that horse is not right for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're right.
The fear comes up. What will people think of me?
I'm afraid to get on that.
The fear comes up. What will people think of me if I don't go on this horse? Right. Well, okay. So you push past that fear of I don't care what they think of me. I'm not going on that horse.
Mm-hmm.
You don't succumb to the fear.
But here's the distinction is that it's not an excitement. The inspiration is not exciting. The inspiration is telling you what not to do, which can appear more of a fear, like don't get on that horse, which almost like afraid. So the inspiration doesn't come as excitement and joy. It comes out of an urge not to do something.
To me, that's more of an issue of like listening to inner guidance. Like, so sometimes I'm driving and I have the option to turn right or turn left, you know, and somebody might even say turn right, but my guidance is saying turn left. It's not because I'm afraid of turning right. It's just I'm being led to the left. So maybe in that instance, he didn't have any initial fear of that horse. He didn't have any issues about getting on the horse, but then his guidance told him to choose a different horse. So he's not, I don't know. And so I don't see any like initial fear there presenting itself, but then
You're right. You and Gary are right. It's not fear, but it's a something to not do something instead of to do something.
Right.
Right.
Feel like a fear. Not how do you?
If you're in a good feeling place, and you can recognize that you're in a good feeling place, and you get a thought, then that's inspiration. So he was obviously in a good feeling place. He's with his friends. Yeah. He's going horseback riding. He gets this thought. He was smart enough or preppy enough to realize, hey, this is inspiration. Let's choose another horse.
Right.
And not necessarily, I don't want that horse. I choose a different horse.
Right.
I like that.
Being led to something.
Look at your state. So look at the state you're in. Very good.
Yes.
Very good.
Another part of that story, too, is that this was a manifestation event for everyone involved. So had Jerry gotten on that horse, it is highly likely that the horse would have been fine for him, but he was inspired not to get on the horse. So the other guy went into this manifestation event of feeling bad and I'm going to show this guy. And then everyone involved in that got something out of that event.
Right.
Wow.
Because we're talking about it here. Too.
Exactly. Totally. How cool. How cool is that?
And the 6 million people who are listening to us.
I think it's 7. Didn't we decide it's 7 now?
Increased exponentially
in one. All right. Okay. When you arrived at the bottom of the diving platform, you took hold of the rails of the stairs and you pushed yourself to take that first step. How did you do that? You talked yourself through it. You analyzed the fear. You reduced the intensity of the fear. You remember all the people who successfully dove into the pool and how they all surfaced without injury. So you climb the stairs. Do you continue straight to the top of the platform? That depends on your ability to process irrational fear. Certainly, you could just as easily ascend to the top of the platform and courageously dive off of it. However, that is unlikely. You would need a very high level of confidence in order to do something like that.
All right. So this is another concept here where maybe you can process the fear and maybe you can't. Okay. So what do you do if you can't process the fear enough to jump off the very top? Let's go into this next paragraph.
Typically, you will have to reduce the intensity of the irrational fear through actual firsthand experience. You will start smaller and build confidence through a series of experiences. The experiences themselves create powerful beliefs. First, you will dive off the lowest platform, which is just a couple of feet above the surface of the water. As soon as you dive in, you realize how easy this is. You feel exhilarated because you have pushed through some fear to do what you were inspired to do. You might dive off the lowest platform a few more times. Soon, the exhilaration fades along with the fear. You have mastered this level through direct experience. Now you are ready to move up the platform to the next level. This will seem a little more scary because it is now quite a bit higher than the first platform. Notice again the illusion caused by fear. This next platform seems much higher. It seems more difficult. It seems scarier, but nothing has changed in the reality of the situation. Everything is the same. It's just an illusion caused by fear. You realized this because when you were on the ground, you could see the true reality. You knew that the next platform was exactly double the distance from the surface as the lower platform.
Okay, so looking at the diving board, if you've never dived off it before, you have no direct experience. So your belief that is dangerous comes from whatever else happened to you in your life, right? But you don't know firsthand. So in order to process this fear now, if you can't dive off the top platform, you develop some firsthand experiences that show you it's safe. So in this case, you dive off the lower one. Alette, what she wanted was to feel more confident at work. She's a translator. She translates English documents into Dutch for a law firm and back and forth. And she's been doing it for 15 years, yet she has some insecurities about that. And so Joshua says, teach English or teach Dutch to people, right, who speak English. And so, and get paid for it. Because the idea is to increase your confidence with translating. If you're a paid teacher of a language, you're going to feel more confident. And in this case, it's true. But she couldn't go right directly. She was had too much fear around getting paid for it. So she did volunteer. She started as a volunteer. And now she's helping the Syrian refugee learn to speak Dutch better. It's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's going off the lower platform. She had a lot of fear around it. It turned out to be a great experience, and she's able to do it now. She gets more confident. The exhilaration was there in the first time, but she sees firsthand how easier it is now.
And isn't it cool how the perfect person has shown up for her? It's a serious, like, it's a refugee. Somebody who's probably so grateful for what she's offering.
Right.
For her to sort of explore that.
Another
and to
thing
this
for
point.
Her, too, was that she wanted to feel appreciated, and she didn't feel like she was being appreciated at work, and here she is getting incredible amounts of appreciation.
And I was just going to say, I think it's important to kind of know yourself a little bit, too, because some people might, jumping off that platform, just like, oh, I'm going, and just jumping, that might work for them, whereas the different steps and different levels, it's kind of like when we were on the cruise and Kyla had the big breakthrough, and then because she likes big breakthroughs, and then like Astrid and I are a little bit slower and things are happening in different ways, and just being comfortable with that, not comparing, not getting in competition, not feeling less than, not doubting your worthiness, it's however you have to deal with it is perfect.
Another point that came to mind for me is that, so even if everything is right, there is no wrong. So even if you were to give in to that fear, I remember going to a water park when I was a kid and I'd been there several times and there was this one slide that was the highest of all of them. It was called the Thunder Plunge and it was just a straight drop down. And so I did that. I worked my way up. You know, I went on the smaller rides and then like climbed all the way to the top, waited in line forever to go on the Thunder Plunge, got up there, was scared shitless and decided to go back down. And so I had to like climb down and go by all the people. And I gave in to the fear, but that only amped up the desire. So the next time I went to that park, I went up there and I did it. And it was exhilarating, you know. So it was okay that I gave into the fear and didn't go. Because if I had, I don't know, at that point, I think the fear was a lot higher than the desire. So maybe I would have like gotten them, I don't know, like flown off the slide.
Your bathing suit would have come off and you would have been embarrassed.
Those
that
days
slide
I would say,
gives you a wedgie for sure. Okay, let's go to the next one.
Okay. When you can look at the reality of the situation before the fear arrives, you can remember what you knew before the fear came. And so you can rationally analyze the reality in front of you and know that what you're seeing is simply an illusion caused by fear. So you move to the end of the platform, push past the fear and the illusion, and you plunge gracefully into the water. As you return to the surface, you feel exhilaration. Exhilaration is the feeling you receive anytime you push past a new fear.
The idea is there, you're standing on top of the platform, and it seems higher, but then you remember when you were at the bottom of the platform, it is not higher. And so you use the reality. You look at it from the higher perspective. Okay. Next one.
What are the mechanics of this phenomenon? Why do you feel so good when you move through fear? Because the fear causes you to come out of alignment with your inner self. And the process of moving through fear and taking the action you are inspired to take causes you to regain your alignment with your inner self. When you adopt a limited perspective, you feel the fear. The limited perspective is the illusion. Your inner self will never join you in the illusion, and so you temporarily disconnect yourself from the perspective of your inner self. This does not feel good. Fear does not feel good. The emotion you receive at this time will indicate that you have chosen a limited perspective. In the case of the diving platform, the emotion you receive might be self-doubt. When you feel any negative emotion, it is simply a message from your inner self that you are not choosing the higher perspective, and this is creating an illusion in your reality. That's
so this
powerful.
Is interesting wow. thing about yeah. exhilaration, which is that feeling of alignment. Now, another feeling of alignment is relief.
Mm-hmm.
God, I remember that movie where they were getting the hostages out of Iran, Ben Affleck, and mm-hmm. as they finally got them on the plane and the plane's taking off, that feeling of right relief there. That even you in the audience has, you know?
Yeah.
So that is finally, after all these years, you come back into alignment with your higher self. Mm. Then. You know, every time a plane lands, you feel a little bit of relief, right? Because you're coming back into alignment because these little fears are with you the entire flight.
Mm-hmm.
So, but exhilaration is something more than that because it's a snap back into alignment, right? Okay. Because as soon as you hit the water and realize that you're not dead, you come right back into alignment. And that's why you feel this rush of excitement. Yeah.
You'd say, let's do that again.
Right.
Do we have any water parks at the land cruise?
But we do have a motorboat.
Okay, I'm going to bring a slip and slide. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, slip and slide. There's kayaks and paddle boards, and jet skis. Oh, yeah. And,
jet skis. I've never been on a jet ski.
Oh yeah, they're fun.
Oh, you will.
Yeah, I used to. And catamarans too.
Ooh.
And golf. Mm. Golf is exciting.
Yeah. I'm not golfing. I ain't got no time to golf. Come on.
All right, let's go to the next one.
Now, at this point, it is very easy to succumb to your fear and back out. You believe that if you climb back down the stairs, you will feel better, and maybe you will initially. But you will not have taken the action you were inspired to take, and you will not have gained from the experience. You see, if you receive inspiration to act, it is for your best interest and highest good. It is an action step that will move you toward that which you have asked for. When you receive inspiration, it is your cue to take some action. If you take the action, you will move through your fears, feel exhilaration in doing so, and move one step closer to the manifestation of your dreams. In this case, you can see that the inspired action that causes you to dive off the top of the platform will create a new and highly beneficial belief. You will have confidence in your abilities to process and move through fear. If you succumb to these fears, you build momentum toward insecurity and self-doubt. You intensify the strength of the fears.
Mm. And you also intensify or create birth a more intense desire.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe later you come back. But mm-hmm. So there's never anything wrong. It's just stating here that in the practical approach, daily life, if you want something and you choose to give into the fear, then you're just not moving towards the manifestation of your dreams. You're just living a limited experience. Maybe that causes you to birth a desire that carries you forward. Or maybe, like a lot of people, you just live quietly and don't really move outside your box. And I think that what Joshua is saying and what other people are saying is that when you transition to the non-physical, you're going to look back on this life and realize that it was far more limited than it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal. You can come back in another life and live another one. But since you're here and since we're doing this and since we're talking about it, why not open up a bit and live a little bit more limitlessly? And every single time I push through the fear, like yesterday I was playing play poker and then I answered someone's question. And in the question was, if you get an invitation to something, comes in your reality, if you find anything interesting about that at all, then it's for you. But you're going to have fears. No, I had other plans. I don't want to do that. It might take too much time. It might cost money. So I get a call yesterday to play in a golf tournament from Casey. And I said, yes, I'll go. I just said yes right away. Because I knew I could find a million reasons not to do it. And we ended up having a fantastic time, had a great conversation, met some phenomenal people, great food, great golf course. We played fantastically. It was so much fun. And met an interesting new person out of this that who knows where that will go. You know, it's just, it's really, I was looking around. Why am I here? What's happening? You know, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And this guy I met happens to live on this street. It's my favorite street in West Palm Beach that I used to walk by his house every single morning of my life when I lived in the last house. I knew his house. God. I had seen the inside on pictures. I said, you know, I know your house. It's 4,000 square feet. You've got 4 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms. He goes, how do you know? It's never been on the market. I said, well, you listed it somewhere because, and what it did, I remember you listed it as like a seasonal rental.
Oh.
He goes, yeah, we did, but we never went through with it. It was just on the market for a few minutes. Well, I had looked up the house at one point and remembered it all.
That's crazy.
Yeah, very crazy, isn't it? Yeah, to remember his house.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to see what you guys might do together.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I like how you just said yes right away.
Yeah, before, I just said yes right away.
Before the thousands of reasons why to say no came, you kind of beat it to it.
Right.
Just that, beat yourself to good. It.
Yeah.
And then once you were in it, like you said, you were just open and curious about what was there for you. Because I think it's easy when you just say yes to something that maybe something that presents itself, but it's maybe not something that you felt like you had a high desire to do. It's easy to go into it sort of judging the situation or judging the people. And I don't really want to be here. But when you go, I find when I go into it with that, like, what's here for me? Something inevitably shows up, whether I'm just perceiving it that way or, you know, it doesn't really matter. But it's
very good.
I get the most fun.
Huh. All right, let's go to the next one.
By succumbing to fear rather than moving through it, you make the fear stronger. Your limiting beliefs become intensified. By processing the fear, analyzing it, doing the work to reduce its intensity, you make it much easier to move through it in the future. You build self-confidence and faith. You build strong and new beneficial beliefs that will aid you in the future. You create processes that help you deal with fear. You are fooled less by the illusion caused by fear. You see yourself and the world around you differently. You create a more malleable persona. When you succumb to fear, the persona becomes more rigid.
Ah, that's interesting. So this practice of moving through fear is beneficial in and of itself.
Mm.
Just taking things as they come, realizing your fear and moving through it allows you to develop the self-talk necessary to move through other fears. The more you succumb to fear... creates this self-talk that makes it you're more likely to succumb to more fear in the future. So you build momentum either way, either moving through fear and being less limited or succumbing to fear and becoming more limited.
Right. And we attract those thoughts. So if you're attracting more fear thoughts, it would behoove you to get out of those fear thoughts as quickly as possible to be able to attract the positive thoughts to come in.
So you can see people that are naturally those kind of people that move through fear or naturally those kind of people that tend to be limited by fear. And I mean, I see this all the time now. I feel like I'm one who can move through fear pretty easily. But it helps knowing that by moving through it, it's for my highest good. And then being aware of why it's for my highest good is very beneficial, just like Kyla said. Because I could have been in this thing going, you know, it's a cloudy day. I'm with these people I don't know. It was an insurance thing, you know, so it was all these insurance brokers. They were talking about stuff that I could care less about. It was really like being in a movie of this convention of insurance people. And it's so everyone. The thing was a luau. So we wore leis and everyone was dressed up in Hawaiian outfits. You know, it was so funny. And it was a banquet and there were waiters ringing around and you had free drink tickets and stuff like that. But it was really fun. It was a lot of fun people. But that's another part of it too, is looking for the positive aspects of everything you're doing, knowing that there's something for you in this thing. It was interesting because it really was like just a fun event from the whole time. But then I found myself with this guy, and I just started opening up this conversation, and we just rolled with it. And this guy, this is a totally intense conversation that was like out of the blue. We had never met each other before, didn't know anything about each other. And this conversation was one of the most deep personal conversations I've ever had with somebody, you know, especially someone I just met. It was like we were surrounded by 100 people, and we're in our own world having this conversation with music blaring, and you could hear every word perfectly. And I was like really being me, helping him to see the situation with that he was dealing with in his life too. So it was I was there for this reason.
I'm
kind of seeing visions of you and Steve though too. How you and Steve met was kind of like a similar kind of thing. And here's this other man now that's come into your life that offering you something. In a sense.
Well, Steve and I were the same way. We were at a Story Waters seminar.
Right. And didn't know each other.
I was the last person to go on stage and ask my question. And my question was, you know, what's this Joshua thing that's happening to me? And so everyone is around me asking me about Joshua, this whole entire 50 people. And everyone's giving me cards and saying, contact me. But the only person out of the entire group I talked to with after that was Steve.
Something I've noticed when I go into situations like that, just open and honest and curious and ready to see, and I enjoy talking and like connecting with people. So I find that happens a lot with me where I just get into these super deep, like really quickly conversations with people. And what's starting to make sense to me, and I think the same is very possibly true for everybody involved in this Joshua stuff, and, you know, or maybe in not even with Joshua, but other people too, is that like they told me about my gentleman friend, like Joshua told me about my gentleman friend, that he might not be a match to Joshua, but he is a match to this information. And so that's why he's like attracted me into his reality. So I've started looking at everybody that I meet that's in my reality that I have anything more than just passing on the street, like a clerk at the grocery store, that there's something that we have for each other, and like a homeless person that we have for each other. And like Gary and that guy, there was something in that moment because you were being the authentic version of yourself and just open. Yeah. The universe flowed through you, and like he met you there, and so it flowed through him too. I think that happens all over the place when we are open to it. It happens all the fucking time for me. It's cool.
I've been noticing it more and more. Like just this morning, I opened the hotel room door, and the housekeeper standing there, and I looked her. We looked directly into each other's eyes, and there was this huge connection. And I said, "We're going to be leaving a little late this morning. Is that all right?" And she said, "Sure, take your time." And I shut the door, and I thought, oh my gosh, she is playing a little tiny supporting role in my movie.
Yeah.
And it was like the first time I ever like thought about that, thank you. Here she is. I open my door and here she is, like on cue, right? And it's just like to me, because Joshua's always talking about this movie. And now it like finally like solidified for me that, oh, I get it. Thank you. Thank you for playing that little supporting role.
Yeah. And that she was inspired to be there, right? Yeah. How did that happen, right? All the stuff is, she had to have received the thought, let's go down to this part of the hallway. And you received the thought to open the door right then.
To open the door and actually make eye connection, which, you know, how often do you really do that with people?
Right. Like, what's interesting is I've always not liked parties because I can't stand small talk. And now I'm dispensing with small talk and realizing that just a few little words can open up these deep conversations.
Right.
So I said,
small talk can lead to big talk.
Well, it wasn't small talk because I started this. What this was, I said, what do you think about the concept of marriage? You know, so that was a big, and I was inspired to say that for some reason. But we got this huge, and then it led where it was going to go, which was about his kids and stuff like that. But, you know, with those words came, it wasn't like, what do you think of the weather? Yeah. Do you think this was a good golf course? Or, you know, what do you think about the basketball game last night? It was like this thing about a big subject. All right. We're on our last. Go ahead.
I just want to say for everything you're saying, it's almost like we're taking our higher perspective with us, and it's a new level of awareness. It's like, you know, living our day and asking, you know, what would Jesus do, or what would our inner self do, or what's our higher perspective? So instead of feeling separate from that, take it with us and take the, like you're saying, curiosity, and you're just bigger in those moments, and you're looking at life and you're experiencing life on a whole new level because you have your inner perspective. You're aware of it. You're more aware of it, and you're taking that inner perspective.
Yeah.
You're choosing it. It's pretty cool.
I also set my intentions too. I said, I set my intentions to be curious and to see, what is in this for me, and how is this going to work out? You know? All right. We're running out of time here. So let's go in this last question or last paragraph.
Cause time is real.
It is for me. Cause I got a big tournament to play.
Big money, big money, big money.
Yeah.
All right. Can you see how this works? By moving through fear, you gain confidence and a sense that things are always working out for you, which they are. By succumbing to fear, you create limiting beliefs that things are harder and more scary than they truly are. You create a momentum of fear and anxiety, and this brings on even more self-doubt. You live in a perpetual state of illusion. In order to protect yourself, you create false attributes and add them to your persona. Because the feeling of succumbing to fear is so awful, you avoid situations involving any fear and you learn to maintain a meek and mild existence.
So isn't this pretty amazing? This is like one section of one chapter in this book that's just flowing out. Like really tangible stuff that you can use just right there. Just that little piece of it. It's amazing to me.
All the books are like that, though. I mean, I can just read a paragraph or two and my whole world can be changed out of any of the books, you know?
Absolutely.
Yep. All right. So this book will be available sometime by the end of the year, probably.
Hopefully for Christmas presents.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah, for Christmas presents. Good idea. Well, you guys have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy yourselves immensely. Become aware of what's happening. Set your intentions. Be curious. And we'll see you all again on Joshua Live on Monday.
Yay.
Yay.
All
right. Goodbye, everyone.
All right.
Bye, guys. See ya. Love you.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.